You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast ahead of the biggest week of the golfing season. The Open Championship 2017 from Royal Birkdale is almost upon us. Dave Kellner, Dave Tindall, Mike Grenham, all with you for this Open Championship preview. And we'll get stuck into the betting in a few moments' time. First of all, a couple of pieces of information to give you. William Hill going a 50 odds the first seven places on the Open Championship. And you'll get your money back as a free bet if your selected player in the outright market misses the cut. That's up to £20 on that offer. And the championship is hashtag your odds as well. So if you want to bet that's not on the William Hill website right now, please tweet at Will Hill Bet using the hashtag your odds, and the compilers will endeavour to price it up. First of all, a warm welcome to the man sitting to my right, Mike Grenham.
Hello, David.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you.
Hopefully, we'll get as exciting a climax to this year's championship as we did last year, because it was one of the, if not the best, major championship in living memory.
Yeah, that was great, wasn't it? Stenson and Mickelson last year was a fantastic... you forget quite how well they played. They were just miles clear, weren't they? You know, it... I'd like to see more than two players in a finish.
I was going to say
in an ideal world, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it was cracking that Sunday, and yeah, they were miles clear, as Mike said, Dave, and Stenson. It wasn't that easy. That's the thing, and he shot 20 under par.
Yeah, if you're a Mickelson, it's like Mickelson's never recovered from that, has he? He's never really looked like winning since, has he? Really, well, he hasn't won since the 2013 Open, but. Yeah, I think I prefer when there's about eight or nine that might win.
Yeah, I do, but
especially
that was just
two of them or something.
Two juggernauts going head to head, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think when you're betting always in throws, it kind of has we're not purists, are we?
I've not backed either of them. This is rubbish.
Yeah, but the duel in the sun and Watson and Nicklaus, I'd probably be moaning about Gary Mabell and Gary Player rather than watching that or whatever, you know.
Let's get stuck into
the impact.
Let's get stuck into the championship then. 14-1 the field here with William Hill. Jordan Spieth is at the top of the betting. Dustin Johnson 16-1. Ricky Fowler 16-1. John Rahm 18-1. Justin Rose is 20s. Rory McIlroy 20-1. Sergio Garcia 20-1. Tommy Fleetwood is 20-1, and it's 22-1. And bigger the rest. Let's start specifically with the golf course. Royal Birkdale are the host this year, and it's one of the more difficult tests on the Open roster. And as the equipment has become more sophisticated, some of the links courses that host the Open Championship, Mike, I think you'll agree with me on this point, can become too easy.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree with you on that, yes. If the weather plays such a huge part in this event, and what were the odds that we were going to mention the weather on this podcast?
It was going to happen inside the opening 5 minutes, definitely. I think gamble's been landed there. At the moment, the weather's looking quite consistent for the 4 days, but it can change. It looks like it's going to be reasonably windy, though.
It does look like it's going to be reasonably windy, I'll reveal more later. But yeah, I think it needs watching this week, because I think it will play a big part at Birkdale. It's a very tough course, isn't it? If it's any wind at all, and it could be significant wind this year. What was the winning score last time, Harrington? Three over to win a. That's what an Open should be won by, not 20 under.
It was even par when Marco Mera won in 98 as well at Birkdale. Yeah. So this is a golf course, Dave, that has stood the test of time, largely down to the bunkering at the venue.
Yeah, it's very very well strategically placed, all the bunkers. Tommy Fleetwood, I heard say that. He says every bunker is like,
he's in play.
Not just there for show. Yeah, everyone is in play. So it is a real test, lots of them. And obviously, they're not just nice-looking bunkers. They're proper pot bunkers. And often you go in them and you can only chip out, can't you, some of the time. So, yeah, it's a proper test. I mean, it's not a long course, is it? It's only, under 7,200?
Yeah.
Par 70 as well. So that, and you don't get a par 5 until the 15th. So there's no, respite, really, is this? Everyone
starts on one as well,
yeah,
don't they?
So it's a long wait, isn't it? You can't just sort of get a cheeky, I'll birdie that one, and then you've just got to wait and wait.
All the information I've gathered in the lead up to the championship, as well as looking back at 2008 and to a lesser extent 98, that the players that have played an open championship at Birkdale all call it a fair test, and Padraig Harrington is one of those. He's been interviewed numerous occasions in the lead up to the championship, and he's called it very fair. You see everything there, no blind tee shots. These holes run in between the dunes, so it's not as if it's undulating and you're going to get bad bounces. It's there in front of you, this golf course.
Yes, yeah, it's a great spectator course as well, because it's very sort of got the theatrical.
Have you been, Dave?
Yeah.
You've not played it though, have you?
Yeah.
Have you played it as well?
Yeah.
He loves it, doesn't he?
What score did you shoot?
Well, shall I
was
say
it
this?
High or mid 100?
I'm going to sicken people with this, but I birdied the first hole, and that sounds quite good, right? But it's a freak of nature, because I'm no good at golf. And Harrington didn't birdie it when he won. Have some of that.
We're sat here with the Open champion.
Yeah. It's a brilliant.
What tees were you playing off, Dave, though? What tees?
Yeah, the child's tees.
Yeah. Sandwiching.
Proper 400 and whatever yards.
Well, good fair play, is it?
But yeah, I've been lucky enough to play some of the courses. And like Hoylake, you play that and you're thinking, I've enjoyed it, but it's just a sort of flat piece of land where Royal Birkdale is really well framed. As you say, the dunes surround it rather than run through it. Oh, it's a great course. And yeah, I think Troon had quite a few blind tee shots, but you read all the comments and every one of them saying it's a fair test and no blind shots. So it does. And if you look at the winners there, it's all like Palmer, Trevino, Watson. You're not getting weird winners, and I think that's a big reason for it, because it's a proper test.
And it's kind of might become the old
I've watched it on TV.
Yeah, I've watched it on TV as well. It's become the old man's major to a certain extent as well, because
the Open.
Yeah, the Open Championship. Yeah,
wait, why are you
not that old?
That when you
not that old. I think your time's gone, Dave. As Justin Rae's noted on his Twitter account, there have been 8 major champions aged 40 or older in the last 20 years. Mm. 5 of them have been at the Open Championship.
Right.
And we saw two, not seniors in Mickelson and Stenson, but two experienced players come to the fore last year. It's not a major championship that if you're over the age of 40, you can't contend in. You can hear.
Oh, absolutely, you can. Tom Watson nearly winning when he was about 73 a year. It definitely, experience really matters in the Open, doesn't it? Particularly if it's tricky, which Birkdale is. So I'm looking at all the players, and there are some tempting prices about guys who've never played in Opens or not much experience.
Yeah.
But I think that usually you find that it's hard to just suddenly go to a links course and play well there, having never experienced an Open before, you know. I think there are only two like first time Open winners in about the last 40, 50 years, something like that. It's certainly a while since you guys who have not got Open experience have prevailed. So yeah, experience really matters in the Open. That's what I'm trying to say.
You're a big trends man, Dave. Which do you think are most important coming in?
I do like the age thing. I think 8 of the last 10 have been over 35.
That's significant, isn't it?
It is, because you contrast that to the US Open. That's become like a young man's major, because, and you can see why they're played on brand new courses that length is kind of king.
Yeah.
And you get Brooks Koepka winning.
Yeah.
On Erin Hills, you got Spieth, not particularly long here, but you got Spieth winning at Chambers Bay.
Yeah.
And both those opened like in the 2000s. Royal Birkdale's like 128 years old, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's not a surprise that the older guys do well. And I think the average age of my selections is over 35.
Yeah, mine too, actually. I've got a couple of picks. Mike?
I have no outright picks at the moment, but I'll happily do my couple of people that I fancy in each kind of price sector, just so I'm not sitting here for 20 minutes listening to
you. That sounds like a good plan.
Is that all right?
That sounds like a good plan. Yeah. And you've got
I have got a bet.
Yeah, you have, in one of the supporting markets. We'll come on to those later on. Dave, your first selection.
Yeah, I'm not as sort of shrewd as Mark. I'm just thinking, it was the Open. I'm going to have loads of bets. I suppose I have got two in the early half of the drum, one in the afternoon half. So at least I've Yeah, you've spread separated it around. Although like we've kind of said off air, we didn't think there's an obvious bias at this stage, but
it's too early to tell. Recording this Tuesday midday, and the weather can change, especially on a seaside links.
Absolutely, don't you sometimes think you look at the open, you do your bets 2 days before, and then Thursday morning you tune in, and the weather's the complete flip flop of what you've expected. Mm. So that's one of the reasons why I was close on a few players. I'm just going to wait till tomorrow, and then I'll tweet. Or even Thursday morning. There's no rush. There's plenty of time to have your bet. So, at the moment it looks level, but that, by the coast in Britain, the weather is so volatile.
And if you're not having a bet on Tuesday and you're waiting until Wednesday here at William Hill, we'll be very competitive on prices, as we always are Wednesday of a major championship.
Yeah, William Hill will undoubtedly be have a lot of black type, as they say, top price on Wednesday morning, all day Wednesday, I would expect. So that's another reason not to rush. Mm. So, and plus I was just going around in circles, so I thought I'll...
It's a difficult tournament to assess. Yeah, it is. Every single year.
You've got to have everything, I think, in your favour, and I just want I want to know a bit more about the weather before I plunge in.
Dave, your first selection.
Yeah, so I'm going to have a nod to history. I think we might have said this in previous podcasts. When Mark O'Meara won the Masters... Finally won his first major. Two majors later, he comes and wins this as well. Well, in exactly that same position, potentially, is Sergio Garcia.
Yeah.
So I'm going to back him to follow in O'Meara's footsteps and win this. It's not just based on that historical hunch. Obviously, he's a brilliant open player, isn't he? 10 top 10s in this tournament. I think he says it's his favourite tournament of the year. I think he's always been a bit more relaxed in this one because he knows it's his style of golf. And it's just hard to, it's hard to say how big that was for him to get. Mm. I mean, O'Meara didn't really have a monkey on his back, did he? He was kind of a good player, but whereas Sergio's been hounded, and when are you going to win one? When are you going to win one? And he's a bit fragile mentally anyway, so that was playing into him. So to get it done was just a huge thing for him, and I don't see why he can't now kick on. Now, 20-1, I think that's fine because we said. Some of the guys at the front of the market, there are a lot of young players at the front of the market because that's the way golf's gone. But we're saying in this major, you want a bit of experience. So it is quite an easy method of getting rid of the likes of Spieth, Fowler, Rahm, McIlroy. Mm. I know probably one or two of those might well contend, obviously, and they're great players. But I think the scope to say, right, no, I'm going for a proper experience. Okay. Sergio, age 36. Done everything. He's played nicely as well since he won the Masters. It's not like he's just sort of gone on one big holiday and sort of waved to people and just gone,
with his green jacket.
He's waved to a few people.
Yeah, he has.
And just sort of...
they've enjoyed that sort of waving.
Lassoed his green jacket around his head saying, look at me. So
he's wearing it at Wimbledon last week, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. They're wearing it to bed and everything. Apparently, I wouldn't know. But he's kind of had this steady run of results. He was second in Germany last time.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's been treading water a little bit, waiting for the next really big tournament that he thinks he can win, and this is the one.
This is the one. Yeah, he was the player most closest to me for a bet as well. I get exactly what you're saying, Dave. It's just at 20-1, given he has only one major, I just thought I might well back Sergio. I just want to see what the draw is like for him, what the mood music is around, how he is, and one thing or another. But everything you say is valid. He's a great links player.
Yeah, I mean,
in great form, isn't he?
Top six the last 3 years in the Open, I think second, fifth, and sixth. So it's all for you. No surprises with him,
and that weight of his mind. So he was very high on my list.
I think it's the fact that he's settled personally, isn't it? As well, he's getting married in a couple of weeks' time. That's played a huge factor in Garcia's.
Massive.
That, I mean, previously
such a psychological game, isn't it? Golf, such a mental game.
Yeah. Previously, we would have thought, well, that's 20-1, but got each way juice in that. But now we're thinking, well, he can win.
Oh, he can win, yeah.
Not just hoping, we know he can.
My first selection, 80-1. I'm going with Zach Johnson as my number one pick here. I think there's obviously something in the fact that experience comes to the fore, and for a man that drives it so well, he's used to links golf and comes into this Czech tournament on the back of a top five finish, albeit in a tournament at Deer Run that he absolutely loves. And he knows what it takes to win a major championship, winner of the Masters and an Open Championship at St Andrews. And he's by no means had a stellar season, Zach Johnson, but his Open form is absolutely superb. He's got 5 top 20s in his last 6 Open Championships, including that win in 2015. And it was a timely bounce back to form last week. I loved the way he struck the ball last week as well. He ranked first in strokes gained tee to green in the States. And a welcome return with the to form with the short irons as well. He ranked third in strokes gained approaching the green, which is an area in which he struggled this season. I just think this is the perfect setup for a player like Zach Johnson. A golf course where you must be accurate from tee to green, which is his modus operandi to a certain extent. And I thought 80s was more than fair on Zach Johnson. So he's my number one pick.
He's actually playing with Sergio.
Oh, good.
The same three ball.
Oh, well, hopefully they'll both spur each other on there then.
Yeah, interesting that one, Dave. I can see that. So I'm going to look at just the leading fancies here. Garcia was definitely high on my mind. Of the other, what you'd call market leaders, the other one that catches my eye at the price is Matsuyama.
Yeah.
I think at 22s, he's a player that's going to win a major, isn't he? I'm pretty sure of that. Is he number two in the world now, Matsuyama? Yeah. Kind of a little bit underrated in some degree, isn't he? I don't think most people would say that. But he was second at the US Open, 14th last time out in the US. In Ireland, should I say. Came over here the last 4 years for the Open and two top 20s among those.
Finished sixth on debut, didn't he, actually?
Yeah, so he did indeed. So I think he's very interesting. Him and Garcia are the ones that I like at the top of the market. He's decent in the wind. Solid play. Does he have enough experience? Maybe is the one question. Four opens, is that enough? But it's certainly better than none or one, isn't it? Mentally strong. I think Matsuyama will go well this week.
I like the way he peaks for major championships as well. You look at his last three major championships, he's finished tied fourth, tied 11th, tied second in the last three majors. He knows he's getting there now, Matsuyama. He was the one at the top of the betting I liked most. Matsuyama at 22s, yes.
Let alone his second in the US Open, dude, but that Augusta form is quite interesting because there is a bit of correlation between Augusta and Birkdale, the likes of O'Meara, and other people have played well at both, and he was 11th there. Sergio won it, obviously, this year. Mm-hmm. They're guys that... I did have a little look at players that played well at Augusta this year for Birkdale. There does seem to be a little bit of a crossover. So Matsuyama of the market leaders, along with Garcia, are two that will be on my mind when I... making picks the next day or so.
Do you think there was anything in the fact that the first eight Open Championships played at Birkdale, five of them were won by Americans and three were won by Australians? Is there anything in that? Because it's not... They call it a fair link, so it's maybe not discriminatory in terms of the Americans and the Aussies can come over and just take to it.
It's a fair point, but anything that involves Americans and like golf... from 30, 40 years. I actually think they were so dominant. They had all the best players, all the best resources. I think the game's much more international now. So
I think
my view. I don't know.
I think at Troon last year, I think every winner had been American in the past.
Right, okay.
It's just that, they were.
They're just better, weren't they? You had Palmer and Nicklaus and Hogan and all those
guys. It's not like any Americans won at Birkdale. It's like the main ones. And then Peter Thompson was the Aussie and he won five Opens. So.
Yeah.
It's a fair question, though, Dave.
The one that, when you look at the Open winners, the one you think, how good was Ian Baker Finch? I mean, my memory from that Open was his daughter licking the microphone. Remember that? Thinking it was an ice cream.
I don't remember that. But
and you're thinking, was he a bit of a sort of...
No, he was good, though, wasn't he?
Yeah. You know, a sort of middle-ranking winner. But he was world number 25 at the time, so he was a proper... And he'd come sixth in the previous year's Open, so, you know, it wasn't a shock winner.
Mm. He just went off the boil, didn't he? Afterwards, that's why he diminished probably his reputation. But at his best, he's very, very highly rated.
Your second pick, then, Dave. Here,
we're talking about Americans. Before the Aussies, there. Have you got Time Hop? Do you know that feature on your phone?
I've seen it.
Why are you looking at him and not me, as though I wouldn't have a telephone?
He still thinks you connect
by a fax,
by a modem for the internet.
Dial up
internet. He did direct that question to me,
completely.
Mike. He did.
Just as the host.
I've seen it on Facebook before.
Yes.
Go on. Where's this going?
I tend to look at mine every day, just swish through it. And obviously at this time of year, I'm getting a lot of Open stuff. I tweeted, this day last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, 2 years ago. And one of them said, Steve Stricker and JB Holmes doing well in the Open, and they did do well in the Open. and they played in the Scottish Open the week before. Because I looked last year and thought, well, that's a bit weird. Why were Stricker and JB Holmes the sort of leading Americans? That seemed a very random thing to happen. Mm. And then I did check that. That tweet kind of gave it away. They'd played in the Scottish Open the week before. So I think that is a really great prep, the Scottish Open. Five of the last six Open winners had played in it. Just obvious reason, isn't it? It's now, it used to be at Loch Lomond, so it wasn't any sort of build-up at all. But since they moved to Lynx courses in 2011, all the sort of Open winners seem to be playing there, apart from Zach Johnson, ironically, which is good for you. Obviously, Garcia didn't play that, but you think he's so good on links golf, so maybe he doesn't need the warm-up as much. But any Americans, they just don't play that. So any American who played in the Scottish Open last week, I'm giving a little nudge up in my thinking. Fowler did, obviously, but the one I like is Matt Kuchar, because we're talking...
Really? Yeah, he's my middle, one of my two middle-ranking players. Right. Yeah, he's
50-1 he is.
Yeah. So he played in that Scottish Open, didn't just play in it, he was tied fourth, so that's really good. Tied fourth at Memorial a little bit before that.
He's in cracking form.
Top 20 US Open, tied fourth at the Masters this year. We also said we're looking for like an older guy. He's 39. So a lot of trends seem to fall his way. He's not got a brilliant Open record, but he's got a tied ninth and I think a tied 15th. Yeah. It's not bad.
Not bad, no.
It just smacks me as the type of guy who will win a major. I don't think he's had loads of chances, and it's kind of, he's got scar tissue and people say, come on, why?
Fourth at the Masters this year, wasn't
he? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I just think he's quite mentally fresh when it comes to the majors. I don't think he's got a lot of bad memories of them. He's just kind of building up to winning one, and I think this could be a really good week for him.
I think he plays well in the wind. He's got some good links for me. Yeah. He plays well in Scotland the last three times he's played in Scotland.
He's got second, tenth, fourth or something.
Yeah, it's got to show up. And so, he was definitely on my mind. He's been clipped in the market. I think he was 66s, wasn't he? Yeah. No, it's his 50s now.
I think 50s.
It's reasonable. It is reasonable.
Because it's a bit like saying he's not that fashionable, isn't it? Because often we see him at awful prices in weak events at 14s.
Where he's to be avoided,
and
really.
And you go, oh, he's never going to win, is he? But... he can.
Seven places, Dave. Money back if he misses the cut, which he could do, because anyone could if they get a bit of a bad draw or a bit of a bad couple of holes. 50-1 is not the worst price in the world for Matt Kuchar, is it?
He's got patience. Like him.
He's patient, isn't he? You said it gets difficult. He should hopefully mentally be all right.
50-1 then, Matt Kuchar.
He was interviewed in the Scottish Open. He said after every Open, he sits down and thinks, what could I have done better? And he's realised that coming over to play the Scottish Open is the thing that he always makes him feel more comfortable in the Open itself. So, and the fact that he was tied fourth there without really being under the gun, really, he finished tied fourth, but it's not like he's going there like Callum Shinquin. Poor Callum Shinquin will be.
Not really, I bet Cabrera.
Yeah, you were happy with that one. Right, yeah. Mike put the curse on him in that final hole, actually.
Certainly did.
Shinquin.
He went 1-20, you know, we were doing it
on In Play Radio. Yeah.
1-20, Shinquin. And I was saying, you never know with these things.
Interesting.
Revealed that he had a funny lie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Kuchar tied fourth last week without really burning up a load of mental energy. So I think that prep will really stand him in good stead, as it did Stricker and JB Holmes last year.
I like another experienced American for my second selection at a big price. 80-1 again. Brant Snedeker is my pick. Mm. I just thought he was a spot of value in this field. I've long thought his ball flight and putting stroke were ideal for Lynx golf, because he does flight it low and he has that. Enjoys playing in the wind, of course. Won in Fiji.
big event.
In a very substandard event, but in a windy event.
Yeah, it was very windy that week.
Very windy that week. And he's got that aggressive putting stroke, which is ideal on pretty slow greens as well. Yeah.
Well, he's won at Pebble Beach, hasn't he? And so...
Well, that's it. Two of his best performances this season have come on seaside courses in the States. Yeah. Pebble Beach, where he finished fourth, 11th at Harbortown in the Heritage as well. And he's finished tied ninth at the US Open and tied 14th at the Travelers in his last couple of starts. And he has got the hang of playing in this championship as well. He's missed his first three cuts at the Open, but since then he's definitely found the key. Tied third at Lytham in 2012, where he had a big chance to win.
Yeah.
Tied 11th at Muirfield a year later, and tied for 22nd at Troon last year. I think he comes into this flying a little bit under the radar with nice form this season, and I quite like him at 80s.
You put him in my mind, to be fair, but he is one of my, I would call my third tier. I've got two in a third tier that But it was that you were talking about him the other day, Snedeker, and I can see what you were saying. He is a very good win player, and that win at the Farmers Insurance in 2016.
That was unbelievable, wasn't it?
His score was about 69 shots better than the average.
I've just brought the field up there, Dave. Look, he shot 69 in round four, and everyone else is shooting like 77, 78. I remember backing Jimmy Walker myself, and he shot 77. You know, so he definitely, just building on everything you said, he's a very interesting player this week, I think. And he's as you said, he's in good form as well, isn't he? So, yeah, I like Snedeker a bit.
That week on the Sunday, he got slightly fortunate because he was playing slightly ahead of the others,
He did.
And then it really started to blow. But he did play in the, I think he had his last nine holes were in those poor conditions.
Yeah, but he did get a little bit of a break, didn't he? He got in the clubhouse night at the right time.
Yeah, because you were, like you said, you were on Jimmy Walker and you were cursing on that point. But I love him in the win, Snedeker, and I think 80-1 is definitely a bit of value in this major championship, so I'm going with that. I'm going with Sneds.
I think he had an albatross in practice that week when he won when he was third at Lytham.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
And obviously, it's only down the road, isn't it? It's on the same stretch of... They might like that because he was in. I think he really sort of embraced it. He was kind of in the pub every night having a pint.
Yep. Like, he did say that.
David Duval used to do that kind of thing.
Yeah. Little percentages, isn't it? Marginal gains.
In the kind of middle tier, Kuchar was one that I noted, and the other one that I thought that might even be the person I'm nearest to backing at the moment is Alex Norren. Who's kind of like middle ranking, not one of the favourites, but not an outsider. He did miss the cut in Scotland at the weekend, but
he's my third tip.
Oh, is he? Well, so, go on, you talk. I'll let you as a tip for you. I've got that much to say about him. Go on.
Well, it's just obviously you would have said all this in the last 12 months. He's won 5 times, which is more than anyone in world golf, basically.
Yeah.
More than even Dustin Johnson. Crazy. Mm. There's a feeling maybe because 4 of those came last year. Was that a hot year? And you know, would he dip? I don't think he has he? Because he's gone to Wentworth and won with a 62, which is astonishing. He started to play better in America, top 10 in the Players' Championship.
That was a great performance in the Players.
So he's really, I think, he's starting to sort of go on to
played
the next
well
level.
Played well in the match play as well. Yeah. Played well in...
France, he was good. Tied 10th in France. So I think he's really kicked on and... You know, he's world number 9. Mm. You know, look at some of the players beneath him in the world rankings, and you think, got to take this guy seriously. I think we've actually nudged him out a bit. I think he was 40s, and I was stalling a bit, but he's 45 now, so that's good.
It's tempting, isn't it?
And the other little thing that really gets me over the line with him, he's not got a good majors record yet, but the 2008 Open at Birkdale was his first ever major, and do you know he was 5th with a round to go?
That's interesting.
And he double bogeyed the last hole on Sunday to finish tied 19th. Had he parred it, I know it's a bit if, but had he just made par, he would have finished tied 7th.
That would have made him a lot more eye-catching, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think
it
would.
It's basically one shot, you know. It's funny what people margins,
one hole,
isn't it?
Yeah. I agree.
So tied 19th looks good. Where tied 7th, everyone would have been going, And he said that, you know, he said that day, what was it, like a dream debut? So clearly he likes the course. He says he loves playing in front of English, British crowds. And you look at... So sometimes they just say that, don't they? But you look at his last 2 starts in England, win-win. Mm. British Masters and then Wentworth.
Dave, he's a very good links player, isn't he? People forget that Norren's had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, so it stalled his career, hasn't it?
Absolutely, but he was top 10 in 2012, I think it was, and he's played ever so well in links golf the last few years, so...
Yeah, he was tied 9th at Lytham, again, down the road, obviously, so I think he likes this stretch, and I think one of the Nordea Masters he won was a very windy week, so he's certainly got the game for it.
Yeah.
And now I think he's got the belief for it to really... I think you just got to find the right course for him on the majors, maybe... You know, maybe Erin Hills wasn't that course, but Royal Birkdale is.
He's very interesting this week, I think. Very interesting.
Alex Norren, 45-1.
Should say he won the Scottish Open, by the way, last year on links. He's played very well in the Alfred Dunhill in the past. So
yeah, maybe, you know, we took all that time to get a first male Swedish winner of a major.
Oh, yeah.
Might get another one.
Right, yeah.
Just before we go on to the supporting markets and a few more bets.
Oh, yeah.
Just a quick
Have you given all your bets, you two?
Yeah, we've done that.
Well, I'm just going to mention the one player I've got missing as an outsider is Søren Kjelsen, who's 125 to 1 from 150s, which is 150s he was earlier today, but he's just been clipped. But he is he's another really good linked player, ninth in the Open last year, ninth in the Scottish Open at the weekend. Some good form in one in Ireland, didn't he, in the links the year before.
Royal County Down.
I think he'll be. I don't know if he can win, but I think he'll be top 10 or 20. He's definitely a good bet for top 10 or 20. And I wouldn't. I'm not saying he can't win, so at that price, a little saver maybe. I like Kjelsen of the very big prices. He's probably the one that jumps off the page.
A question that I don't usually ask on this podcast, and I know we've done half an hour on the outright market now. So
quick to do with golf.
Quick one, no, it's to do with golf. Quick one before we get to the sporting markets. If you had to swerve one of the market leaders, who do you like least up there? Who do you think is going to have a poor Open Championship? We've got to miss the cut markets on the William Hill website as well. Who would you swerve?
Without any doubt, Tommy Fleetwood.
Because of price?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's a great player, great individual, but look where he is in the market compared to the people around him. Yeah, he's achieved nothing like what they've achieved. He could easily win, don't get me wrong, but his price is short.
22 to 1. Dave, same question to you.
Same answer. As all that stuff about, you know, him and his dad used to walk the dog on the course. Imagine how much distractions he's going to have this week.
A lot of pressure.
Everyone on him. Yeah, come on, Tommy. I think it's too much. And at the price.
Not to demean him as a player, because he's a cracking player now, 14th in the world, but the price is wrong.
I'm with you. Just to be slightly contrary,
yes.
I'll say John Rahm at 18 to 1 I'd swerve this week, because
has he got a false impression of Lynx golf, having won in Ireland with 24?
I think he probably has. I think this will be a completely different test at Royal Birkdale. And I found it interesting when he was interviewed after the French Open. He said that in the wind, because of his high ball flight, he finds it very, very difficult to control his shots, like he does on American-type huge parkland golf courses where he can just bomb it off the tee. So I think it's going to be a very, very different test for John Rahm this week, and I'll be looking to swerve him in some markets. Like, for instance, if you put him in a match bet with Sergio Garcia, I'd rather be on
all day
Garcia
long.
Yeah. No, me too.
as the top Spaniard this week. So John Rahm would be my one. In that market,
given that we've got this offer where you get your money back up to £20 if they miss the cut, I think that's a good way to play Rory, in the fact that he could well miss the cut, but then on the other hand, if it all clicks, he could win. So it's 20 to 1.
I just think it'd be too windy for him here. No. I don't like him in the wind.
Well, I think I think his bad stuff is so bad it does miss the cut. So I think you can have a free shot at it. You see my thinking with that.
yeah, I get you.
Whereas if others play poorly, they might just finish like 45th or something. But his worst golf is miscut golf.
Mm. Yeah.
Go on then. Let's have the supporting markets. Bets in the supporting markets, Mike. You've got one.
Well, the one I'm going to go for. You can play it two ways: top senior market or top 20. We got top 20 myself. Well, I'll do a little bit of both actually. Top seniors. Steve Strick is quite a sharp favourite in this, but I'm going to go for Paul Broadhurst in this market. He's in cracking form this year, won the Senior Open last year. His last three outings have been 5th, 12th in the US Senior Open, 23rd last weekend. When he was playing ever so well, but three late bogeys in the Seniors Players Championship just dropped him down to 23rd, but really should have got a top 10 there. He's got good linked form in the past, was 12th in 2007, 26th in 2006, a couple of other decent finishes as well. Never threatened to win, but he's a decent links player, and he's in nice form, and he'll be patient. Top 20, 33 to 1.
Yeah.
Broadhurst is interesting. He's only 51. He's not the most, you know, he's not.
What would you rather then, top 20 or top senior? Top 20, 33 to 1, top senior, 10 to 1.
I think I'll play both, to be honest, Dave. Yeah. To be quite honest, I think I'll have half a point in both, because if you want to go to the top senior market, Minicase for top 20, really. Yep. Top senior, Stricker is short at 4-6. Too short. Anything can happen on this course. Played well at the weekend, but maybe not the ideal prep. And then the others, Lehman, Marks and Daly. Not sure it'd be late for Lehman and the other two. No thanks. And then it's Broadhurst next in the market at 10-1. And then he's got Amir, Hamilton and Lyle to beat. He's actually... Is there an each way price there? Is it win?
No, there's not. It's win only. Yeah,
I was going to say, is each way gold at that?
Yeah.
10-1 is an interesting price. Probably 10-1 to beat Steve Stricker.
Okay, 10-1 Paul Broadhurst in the top senior player market. I've got actually a three supporting markets picks. So do you want me to go next?
You go then, yeah.
I'm going with Mark Leishman to be the top Australian this week. I was very, very close to picking him in the outright market as well, but I'm going to go with him to be top Australian player, and it's 3-1 here with William Hill. Adam Scott is 15-8 in this market. Jason Day, 2-1.
He's the forgotten man, though, isn't he, Jason Day? He's got some good linked form.
Yeah, he has, but I don't. He has got okay links form, but he's looked out of sorts at the US Open, and I think that high ball flight, I'm not sure it's that conducive to links golf. And Leishman is a player that's really settled now personally. Just become a dad for the third time. Wife is in good health, which is good news. He's playing great golf at the moment. He hits his irons so long, which I think is very, very good for a course like Royal Birkdale. And he was fifth behind Rory McIlroy in the Open at Hoylake and second at St Andrews. And he's talked about in the lead-up to this championship, Birkdale having got a look at it for the first time, being like one of those sandbelt courses he played as a kid in Melbourne. And I just think he'll go very well, Mark Leishman. I'm having 2 points win on that at 3-1. Adam Scott, I'm worried about those frailties with the putter. Battle scars, in my opinion.
You're
going
never
going to
back him in the
I don't think so again after St Andrews. St Andrews was the one for me. I know he threw it away at Royal Lytham when Ernie Els won. Yeah. But St Andrews, he was bang there. And I had him each way, I think, each way top seven. And he drove out of bounds on the 18th in St Andrews.
Impossible to do. Yeah.
Impossible to do, precisely. And he's 15-8 in that market. So I'm going...
Forgiven him for that.
Never forgiven him. I'm going Mark Leishman at 3-1. Pretty confident.
See, I agree, but I quite like a few Aussies. I think it's going to be a good course for the Aussies. So
yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't want to take him on with other Aussies,
okay,
if you see what I mean.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
There's other ways to play him.
Cameron Smith's
an interesting one.
Look, he's a newcomer to it, going against everything we've said. But if there was a top debutant market, which I don't think there is, he'd be one of the ones I was looking at for that, because he played ever so well at Chambers Bay, in his first US Open. So... yeah, it's a good market, but I see your point on Leishman, totally.
Dave, one of your picks in the supporting markets?
I've got a first-round leader bet.
Okay.
Obviously, this is a bit tricky to put it up on Tuesday, midday-ish, but we shall see. Steve Stricker.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
He basically just makes great starts in the Open. His last five Opens, this is his end-of-round position after day one, 4th, 6th, 18th, 59th, 5th.
Right.
So three times in the top six in his last five Opens after day one.
That is interesting. And he finished the John Deere
like
well.
A train at the John Deere. He actually bogeyed the last. He was looking at a 60 at some point during that round. So basically, yeah, he's coming in off the John Deere, and it's not like he doesn't normally. He always comes to the UK off the John Deere, so he's not going to be thrown by jet lag, because he never comes up for. Does he? Apart from that one time
that
last year.
That time you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
At length.
But fifth and sixth in other Opens where he's coming off after winning the John Deere.
What's
Deer,
his draw time, Dave? Is he
I think
early?
He's
or
off
late?
At 7:41, so early. One of the early ones.
Interesting. Yeah.
66-1. So
here's a bit of guesswork.
Oh, there's a bit of science behind it.
But I don't know, you often seem to get like one of, so it's always a good story on day one of the Openers, and often it's kind of an older guy, isn't it? Greg Norman played so well at Birkdale before. We've seen Tom Watson do it. Stricker now, 50, isn't he?
Yeah.
Just 50.
But still hasn't won on the seniors tour yet, rather surprisingly, but he has been playing well.
I think he was third, wasn't he, in the one in his home state in Wisconsin. Yeah. But yeah, he's basically playing great now, and he's got this history of fast starts, so... I quite like him as a little cheeky bet.
Have you got any more bets, Mike?
Just players that could go, these are not supporting markets, but I did meant to mention Siwoo Kim at about 200-1 or something for a players' champion. He's a very big price.
Yeah.
No idea if he's ever played links in his life, but I'll be watching out for him because he was very impressive at Sawgrass, and who knows, he might be a massive price for someone who's won the fifth major this year. Do you think?
Yeah,
he's
had
injury problems, but he's big. Russell Henley interests me as well, over and links. I'm sure he can play well at links.
Jung Hoon Wang, but talking of Koreans.
Which one?
Jung Hoon Wang.
Oh yeah,
who won the Qatar Masters in
very windy
conditions. Yeah. Someone who top 20 bet. I don't think he'll do anything amazing, but
I think there's
those guys you can bet in the top. You know, there's various top rest of the world markets, things like that. That's why I mentioned.
I think there's quite a few interesting in top age, and obviously you two have just mentioned one, and I like Hideto Tanihara, who I've mentioned.
He's solid on a couple of podcasts.
And he finished 10th in the Irish Open. I think he finished 5th on his debut in an Open Championship.
Yeah, he was. I think he was at Hoylake in 2006.
Yeah,
was it?
I think it was 2006. Yeah,
he was top. Who's he in the top five? But since recently, we kind of reminded what good player
weirdly
is.
He's turned 38 years old and he's improved. Which is strange. One bet that I do like that I'm going to have a point each way on in the top continental European player market is Bernd Wiesberger, because I think the price is big at 20-1. I know this is very competitive with Rahm and Garcia, the two Spaniards at the top of the betting, and Stenson, who we've not mentioned yet, in that market as well. He's just a top class ball striker, Wiesberger. I still think he's underrated, and even though his Open Championship form is poor, he does have links form, beaten in that playoff in the Irish Open that you mentioned earlier by Kelson at Royal County down in 2012. Straightforward links will suit him. He's not missed a cut since the PGA Championship last year. Has a win on tour this season in the Shenzhen International, and he's got form in elite company this season. Finished 12th at the Players, 16th at the US Open. Three places in that market. Bernd Wiesberger at 20-1 is my pick in that top continental European market. I've got five bets this week, so I'm pushing the boat out a little bit.
You've got another one, haven't you?
I have. You've got one as well, haven't you, Dave, in the hashtag Your Odds market.
Hashtag Your Odds, yes. There's lots of sort of price levels, but mine's a shorty one. I think it's 5-2.
Yeah.
There we go.
Is it that one?
Sergio Garcia, top 10 finish. Darren Clark to miss the cut. So Sergio, 10 top 10 finishes, last three. So I think that's got a great chance of landing. Whereas I think the Darren Clark missing the cut is an absolute certainty.
Yeah.
Look at his record. He hasn't made a cut for a year. and last week, he shot an 8.
Just tell him Darren has.
Darren sent you.
Darren sent you. He, Scottish Open shot an 80 and withdrew. He's not, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like that.
He's not performing.
I think that's a good bet.
If you won these last five rounds, 80, 74, 78, 84, 70. I mean, he's nowhere near. It's not like he's just missing cuts.
Yeah. Mm. I do like that a lot.
So I think
actually,
it's basically 5-2 Sergio and have a top 10.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a nice bet, that.
Wasn't it surprising that Westwood left Chubby Chandler's group, by the way?
Oh, yeah. That was weird.
That's for another day, I reckon.
I think it is. Hopefully, someone's got some insight on that and they can tweet us, because something's gone on behind the scenes, hasn't it, I think.
But anyway, kick on with the Open.
Right, my hashtag Your Odds bet is 66-1.
Oh,
so a different end of the spectrum. I've gone with Tanihara and Stricker to make the cut.
Yeah.
And McIlroy, Day and Hatton.
Oh, no wonder you were pulling your nose at Day.
Yeah, I've mentioned why I don't like a Day. McIlroy obviously missed his last two cuts, both in links tournaments. He can obviously make the cut and win the championship, McIlroy, but there's a big chance he can miss the cut here as well, I think.
Did you ask for this bet?
No, I've not. This is one that I just noticed, which is weird.
Suspiciously full of your plans.
Yeah, full of my plans. It's just one that really jumped off the page to me. So McIlroy can miss the cut, Day can miss the cut. Hatton, even though he's a great links exponent, he's missed his last four cuts, Tyrrell Hatton. So he seems to have lost his game slightly.
He does at the moment, yeah.
So he could easily
could find it here. He's a great links player, but yeah.
Could miss the cut easily as well,
though. I get that.
Tanihara, I've mentioned. I really like him. And Steve Stricker's just a cut-making machine, isn't he? I mean, he's finished tied 16th in the first two majors this season. And I think this golf course is nice for Stricker.
He was tied 7th in 2008, Stricker at Birkdale.
Very good, that makes sense to me.
66-1, so that's my final bet. I'm done now, Mike, that's it. Five bets I've had.
No time for anyone else. Good job, I didn't have any bets.
You'll find that one under Dave Kellner special.
yeah, Dave Kellner. Yeah. Putting on someone else's voice and asking for the price.
Yeah. I had to open up another Twitter account to tweet that one in.
Well, one thing is, because I haven't had any outright bets yet, I will definitely be tweeting my bets up from from now on to the end of the week. The interesting one thing I will say that we haven't mentioned that some learned judges have pointed out is that Birkdale is a course where you don't have to start as well as you do in some other events.
Yeah, we often say, don't we? If you're not there at the start,
But in this one, I think players who've won it have been quite a bit behind after round one. I think you have to be relatively near going into the final round, but there's a little bit more leeway in terms of a moderate first round there is in some, which makes it it's a much more interesting in-player proposition this event at Birkdale than it is some years where the leaders go ahead and then it's down to two men, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Harrington was a few back when he after round one.
He was, yeah. Might even have been five or eight, something like six, seven or something like that.
Maybe outside the top 20.
Whereas if that happens at most home courses or at Augusta, you might as well say, I'll have another bet because that one's done.
Take the betting out of it. I think we're just hoping for a very challenging Lynx test, a true Lynx golf, bit of wind, a lot of excitement on Sunday. And hopefully we'll have an open championship that at least matches last year. That'd be the thought, hopefully.
Nice and competitive with lots of players in it and a little bit of...
Especially our tips.
Yeah.
I want a bit of wind, though. I want a little bit of wind.
You took the words out of my mouth. A little bit of wind and something around par winning.
Let's recap the selections then for the 146th Open Championship.
I'm going away when you start yours. The list that long, it'll be here for 10 minutes. I'm going to have half a point each way. No, I'm not. I'm having half a point top senior, Paul Broadhurst, and half a point top 20 at 33s and 10s, respectively.
I'm going point each way, Zach Johnson, point each way, Brant Snedeker in the outright, both 80-1. 2 points win, Mark Leishman, 3-1 to be the top Australian, like that bet. Point each way, Bernd Wiesberger, top continental European at 20s. And I'm having a point on that hashtag Your Odds at 66. Tanihara and Stricker both to make the cut. McIlroy, Day and Hatton all to miss the cut. Dave.
Yeah, okay. In the outrights then, I will have a point and a half each way on Sergio at 20s. A point each way, Alex Noren at 45s. And a point each way, Matt Kuchar at 50s.
Those three were very high on my list, Dave. That's
good. I feel like I'm sort of carrying them.
Yeah. Like they really were. Yeah. They were like in my top four or five. Yep. So, yeah.
First round leader, I'll have half a point each way on Steve Stricker at 66s.
Yep.
And then the hashtag your odds. Sergio, top 10, Darren Clark to Mr. Cut at 5-2. I'll do 2 points on that, please.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I do like that bet.
No, I said please, as if you're taking
money. Well, taking your bets here.
he organises the your odds by the look of it.
Yeah.
I'm in complete control of that market here with William Hill. Don't forget, 7 places on the Open Championship. We're betting 14-1 the field, but keep your eye out on Wednesday because we're always competitive Wednesday of a major.
Definitely.
And if you back a player in the outright market and your player misses the cut, you will get your money back as a free bet up to £20. That's on singles only, so do take advantage of that concession as well.
Given that happens, Dave, almost every year that the push out, William Hill push out the certainly the leading players, it'd be very interesting to see what the market leader is. What is it going to be? What's the favourite going to be? 16-1?
Speed's going to go favourite, isn't
he?
I think he
could easily be 16s, couldn't he? Which would be very competitive. Mm. There'll be a... Yeah, it'd be interesting to see tomorrow what the prices are.
Keep your eye on Twitter as well. Mike obviously is going to post his bets on Twitter. So at M Grenham for Mike. Mine's D Kellner, but I've spent all my money already this week.
Yeah.
And at Dave Tindall.
Well, I'll be tweeting quite a bit because I'm going there for the 4 days. So,
oh, are you?
Yeah. So very good. Some pictures.
Yeah. And you're doing some stuff on William Hill's in-play radio, aren't you, from the course?
Yeah. So if you tune into that, 5-10 on Thursday and Friday, which. I think they play, don't they? Still about 9:10 on those first 2 days.
Yeah, they certainly do.
So just updates from the course, you know, give you the latest wind.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Not just my own after the buffet.
No, we don't need the gusts on that. That is for certain. Mike, thank you for your company.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Dave Tindall.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Do check out all the betting on the William Hill website by going to williamhill.com. Enjoy it immensely, the 146th Open Championship. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Please tell your friends and good luck with your bets for the Open Championship 2017.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.